Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Texas Rangers. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com. I'm joined by Allison Footer of MLB.com. Allison, on opening day, if we'd have had a discussion about what team was going to win the World Series, there's no way we would not have included the Texas Rangers in that conversation. They've been to the postseason 3 years in a row, went to the 163rd game of the season last year before being eliminated, had a winning core, a winning culture, a good rotation, and more than any team I've ever seen ever in my life, it fell apart for injuries. Isn't it bizarre what has become of the Rangers?
Yeah, I think after the winter meetings, I think I declared the Rangers the winners of the offseason. And I'm sitting here on the Rangers website, as a matter of fact, looking at the depth chart, and the list of unavailable players is so long that it's actually running off the page and getting cut off. So, yeah, I think this is unprecedented. And while normally I would think that you can only blame injuries for so much and that if you're deep enough, you can overcome them, but in the Rangers' case, I think that we're seeing that this was a little bit too much to overcome. There's just too many key players on the DL.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think any general manager did a better job addressing his weaknesses, his needs, than John Daniels did, getting a guy at the top of the order, Shin-Soo Choo, a guy in the middle of the order, Prince Fielder, and going from there. And then it just couldn't keep anybody on the field. We bring in now T.R. Sullivan of MLB.com, who's covered the Rangers for a long time and has seen the best of the franchise and the worst of the franchise. And T.R., this season ranks where in terms of, I don't know if you want to call it bizarre or odd things or just plain bad luck?
It ranks right at the bottom. It ranks number last, whatever number last is. I mean, you know, every team has injuries. You know, you look at the Oakland Athletics, and they've been hit hard by injuries. You know, the Angels lost Josh Hamilton for a while, but I don't know. I mean, the Rangers have had so many players, quote, out for the season that it's just mind-boggling. They're out until the All-Star break. I mean, you know, we had two big press briefings that just blew us away. One was when they told us that Matt Harrison and Martin Perez would be lost for the season. And then, like, 2 weeks later, we had another one that said Prince Fielder and Jurickson Profar were lost for the season. I mean, those are two double whammies that, you know, have been hard to take. I mean, with all the other injuries, those are the two big ones. And, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on.
How much of a blow with Prince Fielder? I mean, this injury, I mean, having neck surgery, is there a concern that this could be lingering? I mean, even if he recovers, I mean, is there a concern that maybe he won't come back as the same player? They actually needed him to come back as a little bit better of a player than he was sort of demonstrating at the end of last year. But what happens with Prince?
Well, you know, if you look at the Prince Fielder, you know, this might be a little bit of a hopeful sign because you hit it right on the head. He seemed to be falling off last year and was not the same hitter that maybe he was in Milwaukee. And people are starting to wonder, is he getting old? Is he losing it? And now they come up with this that he had a herniated disc in his neck and that it was sapping his strength as a hitter. And, of course, any major surgery is always a risk, a concern, what kind of recovery there will be. But there is the possibility that this could be the underlying reason why Prince seemed to be slipping over the past maybe year or so, and that this could be the thing that gets him back to where he was, you know, when he was with the Milwaukee Brewers or even his first year with Detroit when he was an outstanding power hitter, middle of the lineup guy, the perfect guy for the Rangers. So I think in Prince's situation, as bad as it sounds, you know, herniated disc in your neck, I think this could be possibly what he needs to get back.
Yeah. How about heading into just the second half? I mean, just getting through this season. The rotation issues have obviously been an issue most of the season. And now, is there a concern, like, in the second half that the bullpen being sort of packed, that it could, you know, pile up and really take its toll on the pen? And what would the solution be to that?
Well, I think with the bullpen, they brought up Neftali Feliz before the All-Star break. They brought up Ramon Mendez before the All-Star break. You know, Aaron Paredes pitched pretty well. I think, you know, maybe they get Tanner Shepherd's back. But, you know, you can find bullpen arms. I still think the big one, you know, obviously they need to see Feliz pitch well. I mean, it's been 2 years since he had Tommy John surgery. He's not back full strength like he was before. They need to get him back. But, you know, they really need to get Derek Holland. And another guy that they need to pitch well in the second half is Nick Tepish. I mean, tall, good-looking, right-handed pitcher. He's got some potential, good sinking fastball. He's got the other pitches. been a little bit inconsistent, like a young pitcher should. You know, this is his second season in the major leagues. They would really love to see Nick Tepish have a good second half and really make them feel good about having him in their rotation going into next season. So I would say he is a big key for the second half.
TR, one of the stars of this season, it seems to me from the outside looking in, has been Ron Washington. That I asked a scout the other day about him, and he said, hey, that guy is a pro. You learn a lot about guys in a season when everything goes wrong. Has Wash remained the stable guy, the guy who's got his players back through all these tough times?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were in Oakland the other day, and you look out on the field, and it's, you know, I guess 2:30 in the afternoon. He's out there working with Rougned Odor, their rookie second baseman. You know, you see him out there working with Adam Rosales, their veteran utility infielder. I mean, the guy's a teacher at heart, and that's what he's doing right now. He's trying to teach. He's trying to teach these kids how to get through the season. You know, that's what Mike Maddox is doing. That's what Dave Magadan, the hitting coach, is doing. That's what they're all doing. They're teaching. They're trying to get these guys better. They're pushing them. You know, guys like Leonis Martin, you know, they're out there working with him on their base running. They're out there working on bunting. I mean, you look at this team before the game, somebody's out there working on something. And that's a credit to Ron Washington because he sets the tone with the work he does with the young kids and how hard he works. And I think that's what this team is doing right now. And that's what this team's going to have to do the second half of the season. Besides get healthy, there's going to be a lot of teaching going on. And that comes from Ron Washington. I mean, he loves baseball. He knows baseball. He has a profound knowledge. And he is going to use every bit of that to pass on to these players.
Regarding the trade deadline coming up, I guess because they think that there are going to be contenders next year, there wouldn't be any reason to really give anybody away or obtain any pieces.
Well, they're definitely not going to give away any young prospects. I mean, you know, they got some players who might be of interest. You know, everybody talks about Adrian Beltre. Everybody talks about Alex Rios. You know, these are guys that could help them next year. I mean, Alex Rios is a 300 hitter, number five hitter, playing very good right field, good guy in the clubhouse. They have an option on him next year for about $14 million. You know, I don't see them trading him. And, you know, if you can get a huge bundle of prospects, you're going to trade anybody. You know, that includes Adrian Beltre. But these are two guys that could be a part of a big lineup next year. This team is not going to rebuild. They're going to try to reload. And, you know, that means, you know, next year they're going in to contend. You know, they've got, you know, the revenue to do it. They've got the farm system to do it. You know, we're not looking at a long-term project. So I don't see major trades unless somebody just blows them away.
TR, our fans are excited about Joey Gallo. He's 20 years old. He's gotten to Double-A. He's got, 30-run home runs already this year, some ridiculous number. And where does he play? When does he get to Arlington? And are fans right to be as excited about him as they are, as they seem to be?
Well, this guy is growing into the best hitting prospect I've seen since maybe, you know, you got to go back to Juan Gonzalez. You know, I know they had Blaylock, and I know they
now
had
that's saying something.
And, yeah. And I know they've had a lot of great young hitters come through here, but this guy may be as big as they've had since Juan Gonzalez. Hopefully he's not going to be here too soon. I mean, the guy still has some holes in the swing. He still strikes out some. He still has some work to do. You know, it would be good to see him finish this season in Double-A and maybe next year at least another half season in Double-A, Triple-A, and see where that takes us. You know, hopefully this is not a guy that they're going to count on coming out of spring training next year. There's still a lot of work to do.
But this is a guy that's going to play third base. That's the way they look at him as a third baseman?
Oh, yeah, they definitely want to give him every chance in the world to play third base. You know, the comparison has been to Troy Glaus because he's a big, tall third baseman. Gallo's a big kid. But, I mean, if you can get a power-hitting third baseman, I mean, you guys both know, you know, covering the Astros, Ken Caminiti, something like that. And a guy gives you that kind of production out of the third base position, that's huge for you. I mean, you can always find a first baseman, you know, with some power, but a third baseman with this kind of power is just a tremendous asset.
TR, thank you for joining us today.